So Mary was back at the tomb with no idea what was going on. She was crying her eyes out, talking to angels who asked her why she was crying. And that almost felt like a daft question, in a sense, given the context. And then the gardener arrived, or at least Mary thought it was the gardener. And when the gardener said her name, Mary realised who he was. I rather love that detail, the fact that it was Jesus saying her name, which kind of made the penny drop. That's what did it. And if you're trusting in Jesus, then one day he will, as it were, say your name to you, and you will be overjoyed. You'll smile and know exactly who he is. And Mary was so pleased to see Jesus that she ran up to him and gave him a great big hug. But Jesus had something amazing to say to Mary. She presumably never wanted to let him go ever again after what she had seen him go through and seeming to be taken away. But he says, "You have to let me go because I'm on my way back to my Father God in heaven. Go and tell my disciples that I am alive. Soon I will go back to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Now, John 20:17 is the first place in John's account of Jesus' life and ministry that Jesus refers to his disciples as brothers. In the very early chapters of John's Gospel, we read about the fact that Jesus did have biological siblings. We know from the Gospel accounts that Mary, his mother, was a virgin at the time of his birth, hence why his father is God and not Joseph. But it's clear that after Mary, his birth, that Mary and Joseph enjoyed their normal marital privileges, and so Jesus did have biological siblings. But the people who he had chosen to follow him, who had said, "Come and follow me," you know, or people had heard of him, and someone else had said, "Well, come and see," and they had gone and attached themselves to Jesus. He called them his disciples, his students, basically, and he was their teacher. In fact, that's the very word that Mary uses in verse 16, or a sort of an affectionate version of it, rabboni, rabbi, teacher. And God's word says, as we all know, a student is not above their teacher. There's a hierarchy there. But then, in the lead-up to the crucifixion, in John 15:15, Jesus, as he's preparing his disciples for what's coming next, he says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." So, isn't that amazing that now these people who are his students, his devotees, his followers, they are no longer called servants, but they are called friends. And what Jesus has heard from his Father, kind of in the intimacy of that family relationship, he's then sharing now with them as his close friends. Now, what could be better than that? Well, nothing, I suggest, other than what we find in John 20:17, where Jesus says to Mary after the resurrection, "Go to my brothers and say to them, my Father and your Father, my God and your God." So first they were servants, then they were called friends, but now that Jesus is risen from the dead, he calls them his brothers. And if Jesus is our brother, then that means we get to call God our Father. So Jesus is telling Mary that we can call God Father just like he does. And in a very vital sense now, she was part of God's family just as much as Jesus is. Isn't that absolutely astonishing? And it's even more amazing when we realise And remember, the context of what's led up recently to this point. Here are ordinary men and women like us, both the 12 who are called apostles, but just the wider group of disciples, men and women. They were ordinary men and women like us, and like us they had done wrong things, they had said wrong things, and they had thought wrong things, what the Bible calls sin. And even though they had done their very best to follow Jesus, to live up to being called to follow him, and some of them had even said that they were going to stick with him right until death, if needs be. We'll die alongside you, they'd promised him. But when push came to shove and the mob came to arrest him, they all evaporated. They vanished. They deserted him. And even Peter denies him three times. But what does Jesus say now that he is risen from the dead? He doesn't say to Mary, go and tell those doubting traitors, get lost. You know, Yabu sucks to you. You've lost, I've won, I never want to see you again. No, he says, go to my brothers and say to them, quote, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. What mercy this is, what forgiveness, what grace. But it's not Jesus just sort of being nice and using a sort of a term of endearment to make them feel better. I think you'll find, particularly in our society now, people are using the kind of family image in all sorts of places. I mean, we rightly talk of church as being a family, don't we? But, you know, sort of, so even like, you know, business teams and all sorts of things. It sort of, you know, it sounds really, you know, wonderful and inclusive, which is sort of, you know, it is that sort of language. But the point is, Jesus isn't just using nice language to make them feel better. They really are, or certainly once they are united with him in faith, they really are his brothers. And the same is true of Mary and the other women who believed in him. Before, they were not his brothers and sisters, but now something has happened, something has changed. Now they are his brothers and sisters, and they can call God Father. Scripture says elsewhere that by raising him from the dead, God has made Jesus the firstborn from the dead and the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. Everyone who believes in Jesus will be raised to new life in him. And the crucial thing we need to realize is that by nature, not everyone is a child of God. By nature, nobody is, other than in the broad sense that God is creator, and in that sense he is father of mankind. But since the fall, we cannot call God Father. It is only by trusting in Jesus through faith alone that we can become God's children, adopted through that faith. The great reformer Martin Luther said this: the life of Christianity consists in possessive pronouns. That's one for the teachers among you. The life of Christianity consists in possessive pronouns. It is one thing to say Christ is a saviour. It is quite another thing to say he is my saviour and my Lord and my God. The devil can say the first. The true Christian alone can say the second, that he is my saviour, my Lord. I don't know if you've seen the film Paddington at all. Well worth watching, no matter your age, if you haven't, and I apologise if I spoiler it for anyone, but you'll know, I assume, from the books at least, that it is the story of Paddington, this lost bear, being taken in by the Browns. And what ensues is that he causes absolute chaos. He doesn't know how to behave, as it were, as one of the family. He floods the house. He does all sorts of things, and the father, Mr. Brown, is far from convinced that he should stay in the home. But by the end, spoiler alert, Mr. Brown welcomes Paddington into the family, treating him as his own son. in a sort of a bare sort of a way. And there's this lovely kind of homely scene towards the end where Mr. Brown returns home from work, hangs up his coat, and he goes into the kitchen and they're all making marmalade together. And one of them says, I think every home should have a marmalade day, and to which another one of the family adds, and a bear. And while they're all sort of focusing and thinking about the marmalade, the camera then zooms in on Paddington's face. And he's not really thinking about that. His sort of mind is just rested on one single word. And he kind of lets out a contented sigh. And he simply says, home. Home. The recognition of being accepted into that family that wasn't his own means everything to him. It's where he finds his identity. It's where he finds fulfillment. Home. But fantastic as that film is, and the books it's based upon, it's just a made-up story. But what the Bible says is completely true. To all who are trusting in Jesus, Jesus says, my Father and your Father, we've been brought into the family and we are home. That's true already in the days to come when Jesus returns. That'll be sort of physically true, but nonetheless, we are home with Christ. And that doesn't just change a little detail of what we do, you know, one morning a week or one or two times a week. It changes who we are, how we feel, our sense of belonging, knowing we can call God our Father. And we know, don't we, if we know who Jesus is, that he belongs completely with God. He is good, he's perfect, just as his Father is. He belongs in that union. But Jesus says that everyone who trusts in his finished saving work on the cross, as different as we are from God, can completely belong in God's family too. That's what the resurrection does. It shows us for certain that Jesus has finished the job he came to do, that God has accepted his offering, and that he has brought us home to his Father. Mary doesn't need to hold on to Jesus because it's not the end of the story. Jesus is on his way back home to heaven, to his throne in heaven. And so even when Mary is away from Jesus, she is safe because God is her Father. To be a Christian is to have that forever Father, our own Father who changes our story. He'll always be with us, he's always good, and one day we will go home to be with him forever because of Jesus. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he'd said these things to her. Mary is so sure about Jesus' resurrection that she runs back to the other disciples to share the news. I have seen the Lord. Mary saw the risen Jesus. She knew for certain that he was alive and that his Father is our Father. I'm reminded of what Jesus says to Thomas, where he says, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So let's believe her words and feel her joy as we celebrate Easter together, and praying for one another that we would truly believe in the risen Lord Jesus to the salvation of our souls. I'm going to pray.